Welcome back to another episode of The Barbershop on PlayersVoice.com. I am your host, and it brings me much pleasure to bring back my brother. Welcome back home, DeMar.
What's up, man? Appreciate it.
Always, last time we left, we promised you something, and like DeMar always does, he breaks his promise. We were going to bring you our top 10 point guards. We said that was like a year ago. Since then, Steve Nash is retired, so he's no longer going to be in that top 10 of a point guard. But we will bring you that episode today. And, of course, we have the worst producer in the business still here. He was actually the one who coordinated, so that's why the show never happened. So the worst producer in the business is still here. A1, how you doing today?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Introduction even gets worse every
same thing DJ said.
I know, but you just, it's like even the way you held the mic, you just look like a nerd or something. I don't know what it is. It's just something. That is true. I guess you probably did say the same thing.
I said I appreciate it, too.
Yeah, you just look so stiff over there, man. Jeez. Yeah, a lot, welcome back. You want to tell us where you were, what you've been doing for the past? You beat the Chargers, right? Welcome home.
I was in the Dominican Republic while y'all was here freezing. I was in the sun, playing basketball, doing what I do.
Missed a lot of snow, man.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah. And you just missed bringing home a Player's Voice first scoring title.
Just missed it, man.
Because he doesn't care about the fans. He doesn't do it for the fans, the barbershop fans.
Yeah, you're right. I don't. I wish I knew. Right. I thought I had it. My man, but that was right behind me in the race. He seen that I ain't have a good scoring game, and he was on top of it.
So you finished second.
I finished second.
Yeah. Second in scoring, and if you're not first, you're last.
But he did think I should have been MVP. He was the best player there.
Did they give out the MVP yet?
They did. They gave it out to actually a defensive guy who was let go. Like.
Tony Allen of the league got the MVP. Is what you're telling me.
He wasn't that kind. He was a 14 rebound man.
Oh, Ben Wallace got the
MVP. I thought I seen him get like 7 blocks in like the first 3 minutes of a game one time, but he can't score like that though.
So Ben Wallace got the league MVP out there. Okay, yeah. I got you. Just coming back off of national championship, and I want to get your take on what you. There's so many opinions out here. You last week we did the show and we had Coach Hill, a close friend of yours. And TJ, and we're talking about the state of college basketball as everybody else has been talking. And one thing seems to be a common is that people aren't happy with the product. The thing that keeps coming up is something that you were, which is one and done, and the effects of the one and dones and what is happening and how it's happening with college basketball. You see, after the game, Bo came out and threw like a subtle barb at the Kentuckys and the Dukes and said he doesn't rent a player.
Right.
What is your thoughts about the state of college basketball, where it's at, one and dones, all of that?
College basketball is definitely not as good as it used to be because of that. You know, all the kids out there are young. And you got guys coming in for 1 year and they leaving, but Bo, he can't really control that. If he recruited, you know, a player that had a great year his first year and he's able to leave, he's probably going to leave. I mean, everybody's ultimate goal is to make it to the NBA. And I don't know how you can stop them from going unless you put in a rule that says they can't.
The last sentence is what I think is also missing big picture. And it seems like it's almost the elephant in the room that nobody discusses is that, and I guess it would take a player to bring that up. And they're the only ones who aren't really speaking on the topic is that your goal while you're there is to get to the NBA.
Right.
So let's not lose sight of that your goal is to get to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, I believe, like most things are, it's a trickle-down scenario. I believe that what happened with the NBA, I don't feel like this is a problem that happened yesterday. I feel like this is a problem, a trickle-down effect that started back in the late 90s, and into your era right there in terms of when I think this is now the fallout of when the NBA decided it was going to start drafting people based off of what they did in high school and just had no regards to what your college career did. The second that they said Kevin Garnett is not even, you know, he's 200, he's 190 pounds, soaking wet, 6'11", has a long way to go, we'll take him. Kobe Bryant is 6, we'll take him. And I think once they started decided doing that, and then it became either Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry, and it was just like, hey, we don't Darius Miles of the world, and it was, we don't care what he is now. We're just start drafting off of what we think he will be 10 years from now.
Right.
And once they started doing that, the college game just got shorter. And then the high school game got shorter. And then it was high school basketball essentially died. And it became AAU.
Right.
And then AAU doesn't have the same coaching that you get from the high school coaches. You get guys who are, you know, the barber. The guy's your barber, and all of a sudden he's your AAU coach. You know, he's never really been an assistant coach, never anything. Mm-hmm. And guys are coaching almost for the NBA. The AAU, they're not really teaching you fundamentals. They're trying to get your ranking up, where you are ranked this year in high school basketball, where you are ranked that. And they have, I think an AAU coach, and you can speak to this, has a different agenda than your high school coach.
Right.
Financially, you know, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. I feel like your high school coach will bench you your freshman and sophomore year. The AAU coach, I think he understands that he's not going to bench you. And matter of fact, his goal is to find you a place to play and to showcase your talent. And then it just trickles all the way down. So I think now the fallout is that when they started, it used to be, let's see what you a lot of people were the greatest thing ever in high school. I mean, that being great in high school didn't just start now. That's been going on since they had high school. But it used to be, let's see what he does when he gets to college. That will determine, you know, it was no shortage of people who were the number one player in high school. And then they're like, yeah, never happened to him in college.
Right.
We're not drafting him.
Right.
And then it became, we don't even care what he does in college. Let's get him now. Let's get him now. And so when you do that, you devalue college basketball. And it's almost now we're getting to it. They hold it against you the longer you stay in college basketball.
Yep.
And so that's my take on it, and I think that it's not the coach's sketch. I don't feel like it's anybody at college's job to control that. You know, I don't feel like so everybody, and the bad guy in this scenario is Calipari. I don't see why. You know what I mean? Like, if he said, hey, listen, these kids are just going to leave, and they're going to the NBA the first chance they get, I can't control that. What makes him the bad guy by saying, I just want the five best high school players in the country, period. Whether they want to stay for 4 years, whether they want to stay for 2 years, they want to stay for an hour. I want them, and I'm going to try and win. And it's almost like the system is broken, but that's not his fault.
Definitely not his fault. I mean, I was in that exact situation. I mean, since I was like a sophomore in high school, everyone knew I was going to go to the NBA. Basically, it was just about waiting to see when it's going to happen. So when I went to Cincinnati, it was like I knew I was going for that 1 year. But at that time, you know, Michigan State won the championship and team for the seniors. And on my team, you know, Kenyon Martin, we had seniors on our team. It wasn't just all freshmen. But another thing that's stopping these kids from staying in school is they're struggling. The NCAA, all the money, you know, these coaches making, these schools making, and the kids are getting none of it. Matter of fact, you can't even, you know, sell your own autograph. You can't accept a dinner from anybody, a pair of shoes, and you're getting suspended for it. So they feel like they're getting over. So them kids are getting out of there, and they're being advised to get out of there. I mean, I got suspended for a game for, you know, just going to a prep school, and a guy was like, my dad paid for, you know, my prep school. And I got suspended in the game.
Now, am I correct? Now, I want to throw this out there, and you can say if I'm wrong, but obviously, not to discount anything at Cincinnati. I know you love your school, you love your coach, and you're a big Cincinnati fan and all of that, and you enjoyed your time at Cincinnati, all of that. Am I wrong in saying in your whole basketball career from ninth grade to the NBA that college almost was like a blimp on the radar? Like it was just that at no point in time were you saying, I need to go to college so that I can make the NBA. It was almost predetermined before you went to Cincinnati, you knew you were going to the NBA, and it was kind of like, this is where I'm going to go for the next 6 months, and then I'm on my way to the NBA.
For me?
Yes.
Personally, yes. It was, even though I learned from being in school, I got better, I got stronger, we was the number one team, and it was a good year for me, but rather I went there or anywhere, rather I just sat home.
Right.
I think the way my hype was, is that I was gonna go to the NBA. It was just a matter of time.
Right, and I think that right there, which isn't your fault, and it's not mm-hmm. And it's not college's fault.
Mm-hmm.
I think that right there is the problem. And again, that's to blame the players wrong, or B, I think even more, is to blame the coaches even wrong. They're just there, especially when you're talking about a Bob, a Bo, or Krzyzewski. These guys have been here for 30 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're just here, and these are the rules they're handed. You know what I mean? These are the kids that are eligible to play, and these are the rules. Mm-hmm. And you say, these are the best kids, I would like to have them.
Yeah.
Period. You know what I mean? it starts at the top. And whenever NBA decides that a guy, whether it be a guy stays 4 years, has a great college career, and they say, we don't want him,
yeah,
that's the problem. Every time that somebody plays 4 years and they're 22 and they're looked as washed up, you know, player of the year, and people are drafting some 19-year-old kid who was the sixth or seventh man on his team in college.
Right.
That's the problem. I think they're the ones to blame, because at that point, what's the point of winning the NCAA Player of the Year? None.
No.
I mean, if some guy who's, I mean, there's some of these schools, whether it be a Kentucky or a UNC, a guy who doesn't even start is a lottery pick.
Right.
While somebody who's has every accolade there is in college basketball is going in the second round.
But what can you do? I mean, all you can do is go out and play your game. The teams are going to draft who they want to draft.
Right.
And they're going to draft them off potential.
Yeah. It is, the only way I see this, and you wish it happened more, is that if GMs in the NBA were held more responsible, say, hey, listen, you want to draft this kid? Fine. He doesn't work. That's you, though. Like, you know what I mean? Because they're the ones who are doing it. How many of these NBA GMs, the GM jobs in the NBA are very different than the NFL. The NFL, if that doesn't pan out, you're done. You're like, the pressure is just so much more. But how many of these NBA GMs that have been there you had the guy out there in the Clippers, what was his name? The GM who was there that the guy made all the racial comments about. But whatever. He was the Clippers GM for like 20-something years. Elgin Baylor,
yeah.
Terrible pick after terrible pick after, and there's like no accountability. Like, oh, my bad, I screwed that up. Right. You know what I mean? And it needs to be like, wait, so the same person drafted X, Y, Z, Q, and all bad players. And mind you, I feel like if you miss on a can't-miss player, that shouldn't be held against you. But when you decide that, hey, I'm drafting this 19-year-old kid who really didn't do much in college, and I'm using the number 5 pick overall to draft him, once you start tying people's name attached to that, you know, people start second-guessing, like, hey, maybe I should go with somebody who's got a little bit more on their resume, you know. But until you do that, if you're allowed to just grab, you know, Joe Smo, who did really good in high school with no regards to it, then why not? I mean, and you look at now in these NBA rosters, they're just full of guys who were drafted second, third, fourth overall who were like, I mean, they're in the NBA for God knows what reason.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
you know.
You also got to look at the best players in the league have very little college experience, if any.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, nobody has college experience. But, I mean, it's almost like, what do you get? When you get a degree, you get a chance to be a role player in the NBA.
Right.
That's what you become. If you stay 4 years and you do everything you're supposed to be, you can be a nice role player in the NBA. And it's almost like you don't even really get a shot either. You know what I mean? When you get drafted at that tail end of the second round, you know, you're coming in as the 11th man on this year's team, and by the time they draft 2 or 3 people next year, you know, you're on a camp looking for another job somewhere.
I feel like college got to find some kind of way to compensate the players, because they're making too much money and the players are there. I mean, I know me, I was the number one player in the country, and my first few months of school, I didn't have no food in my refrigerator. You know, I didn't get paid to go to school. I mean, and them guys out there, and they can't do nothing about it, and they don't got no money, but they generating so much money for the school. I mean, you should get money for your rewards. Or anything, you know, these kids got to get something, or they're going to go every time.
I feel like the only, because then they're going to say, obviously, you start bringing in the other sports, and, you know, if they get paid, this person is going to, the volleyball team is paid, which is ludicrous to me.
But do they,
the volleyball team doesn't need to get paid.
For, you know, if they sign for autographs, stuff, nobody's monitoring them like that.
I feel like the only way I see to do it to make sure that it is, I feel like if you allow agents to pay the players, it's a market that will monitor itself, okay? So if the agent says, yeah, I can give Damar Johnson $100,000 advance, the onus is on the agent. Now, if you never make the NBA, I bet he'll be a lot more careful the next time he decides to hand somebody $100,000.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I bet you that he's not handing out $100,000 willing, unless he's positive that this person is going to make the NBA. And if he says, you know, hey, I'll give you, because, I mean, I got, mind you, now we're in college. You've been to college, I've been to college. $5,000 is a ton of money in college.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Somebody say, hey, it was $5,000 to last you a semester. That'll be fine. You live on campus, that's great. That's all the Jordans you can buy and all the food you can eat.
Right.
And that's all you really need in college.
Right.
You wear the sweatpants and whatever the case may be.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you do that, and in that way, the agents have to monitor it themselves, and they decide the risk, you know, they have to decide on a player by player basis how much they are willing to invest. And if another agent is willing to invest more, then that's fine. And the agent who invests the most will lose the most. You know what I mean?
I feel like it should come from the school or the NCAA because they're the ones that's getting the money. Now you got coaches getting $3 million a year, $5 million a year, NCAA getting who knows how much money. And you're getting it because the money that these kids are bringing in.
Right, but the reason that that will never work is because while the football program brings in $10 million and mm-hmm. the basketball program brings in $10 gazillion or vice versa, depending on the school, the volleyball program loses $10 million. I mean, the swimming team, that money that they're generating goes to pay for all those other sports. I mean, the track events that they show, that nobody's there and the whole track team flew there, like, that's where that money goes. So that's where they're going to tell you, and that's what the whole Title IX and you know you got to pay for the girls' basketball team. You have to pay for all the other programs as well. So that's why it'll just never happen from the NCAA. They're going to forever scream that they don't have the money,
well, even though out of the coach budget or something.
Definitely, I'm with you on that. When you look at a guy like Nick Saban making $7-8 million, and right. the players don't make a dollar,
right?
You have to believe that he can take $2 million less and divide. Yeah. That. I mean, even $1 million divided amongst the football team would be that's more than you need. I don't think
A, B, and C just like the D League. You know, everybody shouldn't get the same thing because everybody's not on the same level.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. What did you think? Did you get a chance to see any of the tournament?
Yeah, I watched the majority of it.
What were you surprised by? Did you think Kentucky was going to win it?
I did think Kentucky was going to win it. Yeah. I was pretty surprised. I thought Wisconsin would give them a game, but I didn't think they would be able to win.
I felt like when I saw the Wisconsin reaction after the game, I knew that they were going to lose. It just looked like they won. That game looked like they won the national championship. Right. And the chances of you having that ending back-to-back games, like mm-hmm. winning two championships, essentially, right. it just you never see that in sports. You never see that it's like one team. Every time you see you see it in basketball all the time. Like, I remember when LeBron knocked off the Celtics, and that was his championship, and that's why he lost in the next round. You know, I mean, just how many times you see this, like, whew, I finally get it. That was the biggest hurdle in the world. And it was like, well, now you lost because you exerted so much energy and so much focus. You know, that's what you spent your whole time focusing on. And it literally, after they knocked off Kentucky, it looked like if you had turned on the TV and it was on mute, you would have thought that was the national championship game. You know,
yeah, that's why they ain't shake their hand.
Yeah, there was stuff burning at campuses, you know what I mean? Fans store it just looked like it was the national championship game. I was just reading something. I thought I saw something. You want to get right into this? Before you left, we said that we were going to get into the top 10 point guards, and it's been stewing on my mind ever since then. And it's crazy that if we had did a list then and we had did a list now, I think the list would be different. I think a lot's changed since in a month.
I mean, it can be different now. I had a hard time with this.
I had such a hard time. You throw it out there, and the thing is, you look at everybody else's list, and everybody, if no matter who it is, if you look at somebody's list, you say, oh, that's a terrible list. And so I welcome everybody, before you even criticize anybody's list, write down your own list. And this is about, me and you have done lists before, whether it's receivers, quarterbacks, other centers, whatever the case may be. I think this is the hardest top 10 list I've ever had to do in terms of, and I'm just going to tell you before we get into the list, and you can tell me if you agree. I'm guessing it probably is. I had a tier one with three players in it that I could say I'd have been fine with any order of those three.
Right.
I had a tier two with three players that I'd been fine with any order that you'd put those three.
Yep.
Then I had a third tier that had about a lot of guys in it that they could have easily been number six or they could have been 12.
Yep.
And I had about three players that I had no idea what to do with them whatsoever. Like, just no, I didn't even know if they were relevant, still relevant, if I was living in the past. I just didn't even know what to do with them. And that's not even including Derrick Rose. Okay?
Like, definitely,
I
mean, not including
that's
Derrick
not
Rose.
Even including right, Derrick right. Rose. So I just want to say that as we go through the tiers and I make my list and I look, you want to start at 10 and come down? Or do you want to do it?
Let's start at 10.
Okay, before we go to that, and before we even get into that, give me three guys who didn't make your top 10 that was hard for you.
Well, I got 11 my 10.
Okay, if I tell you, here, let's start with this, and we haven't even seen each other's list. I'm going to ask you for three guys that didn't make your top 10 that was hard for you to leave off, and I'm willing to bet one, if not two, of those guys are in my top 10. And maybe even all three. But go ahead. Who was the hardest for you to leave off that list?
Well, like I said, I have 11 here, and I don't know who's left off. And these last two are between.
Who was your 11?
My 11 is Conley.
Okay, see, so Conley
he,
made
he can be 10. No, he can be 10.
Conley made
it. Conley, Parker, and Teague is right there.
Hold on 1 second. Did I have Conley, Parker, and Teague?
Yeah.
Conley and Parker made my top 10. And Teague fell in. So now, okay, so that's your three. I'm going to tell you my three that I had trouble leaving off. I had trouble leaving Teague, Ty Lawson, and Bledsoe off. I had trouble with that.
Okay, yeah.
Brandon Knight's having a hell of a year. It's only 1 year.
Yeah.
Oh, and I don't know if this guy even made your list, but this fell into my – here's who I had no idea what to do with, so all of them left off. Rondo, Darren Williams, no clue what to do with them.
Right. I mean
– no clue what to do with them.
Yeah, I left them off because Darren Williams has been picking it up lately.
Lately. Lately, and, he's been very good.
I'm a big Darren Williams
fan. I was a very big Darren Williams fan.
You know, with him and Rondo, you know, injuries, just not being really consistent over this year.
Rondo – see, now Rondo's fifth in the league in assists for, I want to say, almost three, if not 4 years in a row. He led the league in assists. I mean, and it was by a whole, like, one or two assists.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in time, Rondo was a walking triple-double. You know, it was not the Russell Westbrook triple-double. It wasn't 30 and, whatever. But he would get you 12 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds, like clockwork. You know what I mean? This year, I was expecting big things when he got traded to Dallas, and it just hasn't happened. Answer me, do you like, just real quick, before not to stay on the subject, the Monte Ellis-Rondo thing? I don't think it's a good match.
I don't either. Monte needs to have the ball in his hands.
Right.
I mean, Dirk also is a guy you got to throw the ball to him and let him do his own work. So them aren't guys that's just used to, you know, not playing without the ball, just sitting around spotting up.
I think the Boston thing was perfect for him in that at that stage in his career, Paul Pierce wasn't doing any more dribbling. Ray Allen wasn't doing it, and Kevin Garnett, like, where you got them, that's why your system, because where you got them the ball, that's where they're shooting. You know, Ray was catching, shooting at that point in the career. Paul Pierce was pretty much, you got him his elbow jumper, you know what I mean? So it was like, that was made perfect for him.
Right.
Again, Monte, you're not getting it. No matter when you pass, you're not getting an assist from Monte, because you pass him the ball, he's taking another five dribbles, and, you know, whatever. So you're not getting any assist there. Dirk isn't as much as a spot-up shooter as people think he is. So I can see why his numbers have dropped. His shooting is atrocious. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible. Yeah. You know, I mean, his free throw percentage is you know what his free throw percentage is this year?
No.
35%, dude. That's DeAndre Jordan. That's worse than DeAndre Jordan. That's terrible. It's
probably worse than DeAndre Jordan.
That's horrible. My point guard can't. If your job is to get in the paint, I'm telling him every single time he can smell the paint, knock him down. And he's going to have to go to the line and earn those. And I can't have my point guard. You can't hack up my point guard. That's just not going to work, yo. I can't get that. And his turnovers are higher than they've ever been. So I didn't know what to do with Rondo. And I've been a huge – if we had did this 2 years ago, I probably would have had Rondo at like two.
Yeah, him and Darren Williams.
Yeah.
Both guys I left off, but both guys that I really like.
Yeah, and I had no idea what to do with them. Now, that being said, so go ahead and give me your 10. Give me your number 10.
So 10, I'm going to have to drop one of these guys, and I feel bad about that. But I feel like, you know, Conley's stats are better than Parker's, and his team is having a better year. So I feel like I got to leave Parker out and put Conley at 10.
Parker is a guy, I don't know if I said, no, I don't think, he was another guy that wrote down my whole 10, boom, no Tony Parker. Okay, can't do that. Tony Parker needs to be on here somewhere. So I when I did my 10, boom. I had him, and he was off the list. And then I said, "That can't happen, because every year when you undervalue Tony Parker and you watch, and his first of all, he plays way less minutes than any of these other guys, and he's and he
does
the way his team flows. His assist numbers are always going to look off because of the amount of ball movement that they have over there. Anybody who watches the Spurs game know that. I mean, they need to keep track. They're the originator of the hockey assist. You know what I mean? They're 2-3s off of an assist.
Yep.
You pass it to a wide open Diaw, he swings it back across to a Bonner who kicks it all the way over to Ginobili, who has, you know what I mean? So you're never really going to get an assist number playing with the Spurs. But I know that every time those playoffs come around and you watch the Spurs, he is the engine. He's what makes that team. Keeping Tony Parker out of the key, which almost seems impossible. So yeah, I just had to put Tony Parker in.
I feel like, I mean, with Conley and with Teague, their teams are just doing so well. And, like, Conley, he don't get a lot of assists because the way they play.
They don't even score that much.
They don't score that much, and they throw the ball in the post.
I like Conley. I like Conley. So Conley made mine. Teague, the only thing I could say about Teague is just not yet. That's the only thing I could say. I have nothing bad to say about Teague other than not yet. That's when I – so it's like if I'm going to do tiebreakers, the only thing I'm going to say is just not yet. It's not your time. I have nothing bad to say about Teague. He's had a phenomenal year.
Yeah, I have no problem with you know, leaving Teague out over Parker, but I just 16-7, and they won 58 games so far. Franchise record.
The deciding factor to me is that if the Spurs and the Hawks would have started a 7-game series tomorrow, I think Tony Parker would run circles around Teague.
Well, we can't go off that because, I mean, Deron Williams might too.
Run circles around
Teague.
Around Teague?
If we talk about just one series.
Yeah, I mean, for the Marble, we're playing 7 games. We're playing 7 games. All the chips are down.
We can't take away so far what they've done this year.
Yeah, I'm not debating who has a better 82-game season. I'm talking about, you know, if we're playing a game and we get the pick, we're playing a 7-game series, who I'm picking. You know what I mean? I definitely don't want discount. I just don't. I'm just Teague. I need to see him.
That's a whole nother list for me.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, if that's how you're going, I'd pick Parker a lot higher than 10. Then,
yeah,
that's the case.
That's what we're going off. That's a whole nother list right here, for me.
So what were you thinking? You're thinking who has the best 82 game season? Who?
No,
you
I'm talking about just so far this season, what they've done this year.
Okay. Well, what they've done this year.
What they've done this year is what I base my list off of.
Okay, that's tough.
If I was basing off, just give me one point guard, this list would be different.
Would Park would be in your 10 then?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who do you have at nine?
Nine is Teague.
Okay. 10, you said you had to decide between Parker and Conley. You went with Conley.
Yeah.
Okay. I like Conley. I think Conley's one of the most underrated players in basketball.
Right.
And I think that's one, from Memphis being a small market. Two, not an offensive juggernaut. And three, just taking a, you know, they're a defensive-minded team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they feed Gasol, Zebo, and, you know, they're just not highlight reel. They don't have anybody who plays above the basket. You know, so they're not going to be on SportsCenter top 10. You know, I like Conley, though. I think he's a very underrated player. And he was able to – I had him in my top 10. I think I had I had Conley 10. I had Conley 10. So who do you have, 9?
9 is Teague.
9 is Teague. 8?
8, Lawson.
Had to leave him out.
That's almost 10 assists a game, 15 points.
I had, when I looked, and he's third in the NBA in assists. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm an assist guy. That's what I think.
Me too.
So my Lawson thing wasn't so much about him as it was about the other people on this list, to be honest with you. I can't really, I think he struggles in half court sets in terms of a half court basketball game. I don't think he's a knockdown shooter. He's definitely not the worst shooter on this list.
Right.
But I don't think he's a knockdown shooter. And I think you have to hide him a lot defensively. I think he does a great job of playing passing lanes, which shows up in the steals department. But when you watch Nuggets games, I feel like he is almost a defensive liability because he's a very short guy. I don't even know what they list him at, but he's not that. I think they list him at 6 foot. He's surely not 6 foot.
No.
You know, that's the only reason I have Ty Lawson. He was, I think I'd have him 11, but I really have no problem with him being, with anybody having him in their top 10. I don't have a problem with that. I just have concerns about him in a half court. He's quick.
Right.
That's all.
Right, and I have no problem with leaving him or Teague out, but
right,
I just can't. It's hard to take away, I mean, 10 assists.
It is. Third in the league in assists.
And, you know, 15.4 points.
Absolutely. No problem with any of that. He was my hardest one, especially, like I said, as a guy who's – some of the people that I have, he's almost averaging twice as many assists as they.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, that's hard. Now, that being said, he's not winning anything over there. Now, that's not just entirely him. It's in a Western Conference. And, but it's almost like he's fallen into that role this year. This is because he's done it before. But this year, they almost seem like who care numbers. Like, you're just out there on a team that's just playing basketball games and racking up numbers. You know what I mean? Like, because they're not even competitive.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Then who you had? Who did you have seven?
Kyle Lowry.
I have Lowry and Conley in my same boat of the so much underrated.
Yeah.
Because the same names we always hear in the point guard debate, and their names never, especially Conley, their names never appear. At the beginning of the year, Lowry was getting a little bit of buzz about MVP talk even, you know, right. When the Raptors had like the second or the first record. I think they had the best record in at least the Eastern Conference for quite a while. Lowry was getting all this hype. I'm a big Lowry fan, and it's good to see him getting some recognition. And it's only from us, to be honest with you, because I don't feel like he gets...
Well, he made the All-Star team.
For the first time.
But a lot of that, they say, was because of Drake.
Really?
Yeah, they say Drake in Toronto, they got all the fans to vote him in.
That's good. Hey, if that's the truth, I'm glad to see Drake using his influence. I don't have a problem with that, and I actually think that's kind of cool.
18 points, almost 18, almost 7, almost 5.
I'm going to give him 18 and 7.
18 and 7, 5 rebounds.
On a winning team.
Yeah, on a winning team.
I like Kyle. I do. This is late in his career to be doing this. I mean, I felt like I liked him in Houston.
Me too.
I didn't think he was this good, but I liked him in Houston. But I'm glad that we both agree on that. I was wondering where he was going. I know that you watch a lot of basketball, so I know he's not the popular choice. But yeah. I was banking that you would have him in there.
Right.
And then your next one?
Well, this one, this was that second tier that.
We're at, what number are we at? Seven?
We're at six.
Second tier. I can flip. At this point now when we enter this, the next six names, I can flip. The first three,
the
I'm locked
three.
In.
The next three, I'm flipped in.
I almost think my next three are almost the same person. If we have the same three, I want to say they're the same person. Each one of them does one thing that I don't like.
The next three.
Give me a three. Give me a three. Don't tell me the order. Just give me a three.
Wall, Lillard, Irvin.
That's hilarious. Zach say three.
Right.
Wall, Lillard, and Irving. Now, what order did you have those three?
I almost left Irving out of this when I was looking out. I almost forgot about him as being a point guard because LeBron handles the ball so much. He's not really, you know, on the ball as much as most of the other point guards. So I kind of forgot about him being a point. But I have Wall. At six, Lillard, five, and Irvin, four. That's the order that I have.
You went with?
I don't mind them being in any order.
I went Lillard. I went Irvin, four, mm-hmm. Wall, five, Lillard, six. Can go with anyone. Now, here's how I did mine at first. At first, I had Wall last out of that, and then I realized at that point, I now have Wall 8-9, almost out of my top 10, which is like, that's just way down there when John Wall has 10, second in the league in
Wall
assists.
Wall is my 6.
Right. Yeah. So, when you start talking about it, it was close.
He was almost 4.
I could have him at 4 and I could have him at 8.
Right.
Here's my thing with Wall. And I had him lower, and then I realized that John Wall is averaging 10 assists a game.
17.5, 10 assists.
Right. Yeah. Now, here's my problem with Wall, and I watch a lot of Wall. And this number, as I'm staring at it right now, I'm just telling you a number. Chris Paul's played in 79 games. He's played in two more games. He plays more minutes, more games, handles the ball more. Chris Paul has 186 turnovers. John Wall has 289 turnovers. He's 103 more turnovers in less games. Like, that is right. A lot of turnovers, dude. Like, I mean, that dude is a turnover machine. Okay? I mean, like, a turnover machine. And he is literally, he's zero of a three-point threat.
Right.
Those are my knocks on John Wall. I think John Wall.
Don't judge him on Chris because.
No. You can put those turnover numbers against anybody.
Yeah.
I mean.
Except Westbrook.
I mean. But Westbrook played in this game.
And look at Westbrook's turnovers and look at his games.
Yeah, Westbrook has 278 turnovers.
In 63 games.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I just watched a lot of John Wall, and he's come a long way. I remember when he first got in the league, and he was 1,000 miles an hour and a blur. I feel like now he's going like 99 instead of 1,000. You know what
right.
I mean? He's a little bit more under control. His jump shot has come a long way and still has a long way to go.
Yeah.
I like his heart. I really like his heart. I like his heart, and I'm going to say it again. I like his heart. I feel like he is a competitor. Next to Westbrook on this list, I would have to – Westbrook and Chris Paul, I think he's got that heart. You know, he wants to be better. And I think he's shown that in the steps that he's taken in his game and how much he's worked on his game. He goes out there every single day. He doesn't take any days off. And so I like Wall in that aspect. Irving, I almost wish that somebody would bail us out and take Westbrook and Irving out and make them two guards exactly. So that it would make this debate easier.
Right. I agree with that.
Because I could make an argument for why neither one of them are in the top 10 point guards in NBA. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just they're players and then there's point guards. So I really feel like this list would be easier if neither one of them were on there.
Mm-hmm.
So when I don't know about you, the way to just to get a list of the names, I go over to the leaders, click on assist, and sort it by assist. And
that's,
I figure that all the point guards
that's how
would
I do
be
it.
There.
Yeah.
So I do my whole list. Irving's name isn't in there. And the reason why is because you have to scroll down.
That's why I said. That's why I said I forgot about Irving. Right.
Kyrie Irving is behind. I'm gonna tell you some of the people he's behind
in
assists.
Off the list.
How about this one? Blake Griffin. He has less assists a game than Blake Griffin.
Right.
Less assists a game than Kimball Walker. Less assists a game than Reggie Jackson, who's spent the majority of the season as a backup point guard. Less assists a game than Eric Bledsoe, who I don't consider a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, less assists the games for Mo Williams, who was a backup point guard. That is Mo Williams. And Kimball Walker are two shoot first point guards on the same team.
Yeah.
And both of them have more assists a game than Kyrie Irving.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's why it was as I scroll down here now, funny, I didn't even get down to this guy's name. Hilarious. Grogic.
But the reason why he's not on there because he started off the season playing a two.
But that's because they had 15 point guards on the Suns.
Right. I like Dragic a lot. If he played the whole season as a point guard, I would probably have to find a way
to get him
in there somehow.
See what I mean?
He's a two. Now he's a one, but he was a two this year, the whole year.
Point guard position is loaded, man.
Yeah.
Point guard position is loaded. So, now Kyrie Irving, I think he's a better basketball player than all three of those guys. I think, now point guard, I don't know, man. I don't even think he's a good point guard. You know what I mean? Like, can I say that? I don't even think he's a good point guard.
Right.
He wouldn't be my point guard.
I would pay
good money to watch him.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I would have no problem Kyrie Irving as my two guard.
Right.
He couldn't be my point guard though.
Right. Right.
You know, there's people who's not even in the debate that I would take over him as my point guard, not mm-hmm. player, but as my point guard.
Right.
So that's where it got hard. And then Lillard, who I feel like he needs to have higher assist numbers. There's tons of talent on that team. Six assists, that's just not a lot of assists.
You say for Lillard?
Yeah.
Six assists. He has 21 points. Then you got to look at him too. As far as they throw the ball in the post team. If you throw the ball in the post and you let LaMarcus work, that's not an assist for you. If he's posting up and taking dribbles and shooting his fadeaway.
He's got a lot of weapons out there. That team is loaded out there in Portland.
They're good. Yeah, they are.
They got a lot of talent.
A lot of talent on that team.
They're underrated in terms. And then when they traded for Afalo, like, they got shooters.
Yeah, yeah.
Batum, Afalo, yeah. Wesley Matthews when he was healthy.
Right.
And Robin Lopez is an underrated center, if you ask
and
me, too.
Kamen now.
And then, like, I mean, they got there's talent out there in,
he's
in
not
Portland.
The best passer now. But
no.
I feel like his assist can be more on a different team, but. He does what he's asked to on that team.
That three right there, like I said, I feel like they're all the same player and they each did something. Like, I wish Kyrie passed more. I wish John Wall could shoot better.
Right.
And Lillard, I just wish he had more assists. I wish he was a better distributor of the ball.
Right.
All three of them, I like their heart. I think there's some go getters. All three of them.
Yeah.
They're all tough and. Do you think Kyrie? What do you think Kyrie Irving's legacy is going to be? Like, do you think he switches into it? Or
it's too early to tell. I mean, you never know. I mean, but while LeBron is there, he's not going to be asked to distribute the ball that much because LeBron's gonna.
But here's my thing: he played 3 or 4 years without LeBron.
Yeah, and he played on a bad team. He felt like he had to take all the shots, and he's never seen the playoffs.
Right. I mean, his career assist numbers are 5.6. His this year is 5.1.
Right. I mean, the kid's a scorer, man.
He's a scorer.
That's just who he is.
He's definitely a scorer. Out of those three, then, here's the question. Who has the better career?
The better career?
Lillard, John Wall.
Man, they, like you said, they so similar, man. Probably Irvin, man. What he got is just stuff that you can't teach. I mean, he can look at film and realize, okay, pause it right here. Okay, this guy needs to get the ball. You need to be more conscious of that when you win a game. Because I know when I was playing, you know, we do that. Like, when point guards, you know, they driving the lane, Pop used to do this with Tony Parker. You pause it, and you say, look, now see who's open. He needs the ball. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, he can, as he gets older, he starts seeing that. Because he's not going to always have that speed and be able to get to the rim and finish the layups as much as he does now. Once he slows down a little bit, he's going to be able to draw the attention and find another guy.
That's funny that we hear. I mean, it's actually not a surprise, but I'm actually glad to hear that you say. And then now we get to the next tier, which is going to be the same three guys. And I'm interested to hear your order, which I could take. I actually still have undisputed number one. Two and three, depends on what day you ask me. Mm-hmm. So go with your next three. Go with your one, two, and then your three.
My one is Curry. My two is Westbrook. My three is Chris Paul.
One, Curry.
Yes.
Two,
Westbrook. And three, Chris Paul.
Hey, you almost did the reverse of me. I want one, Chris Paul. Two, Curry. And three, Westbrook. And here's my thinking. Westbrook's not a point guard. Let's start with that. Yeah. Westbrook's not a point guard.
But then he's averaging, what, 8.6 assists.
Yeah, but, I mean, his usage rate has to be through the roof. I mean, yeah. he has the ball at all times.
This kid, 27.5, 8.6, and 7.2.
Yeah.
The numbers are crazy.
His numbers are ridiculous. He's got video game numbers. The reason I couldn't make – now, obviously, this is an argument. You can make an argument for anything, including, like you just said, the numbers. They are what they are. I could not give him the crown of the best point guard in basketball because I don't even think he's a point guard.
Okay.
So that's why I didn't feel comfortable saying Russell Westbrook is the best point guard, because I don't think – when I think point guard, I think Jason Kidd, John Stockton, Steve Nash. That's what I think. Service. You know.
So Curry is a point guard. Curry is sort of a Nash type. And they're at least 10 games better than everybody.
I don't have a problem with Curry. The reason I say Paul at one defensively, he's a four-time first team. All defensive. Watch enough Clippers games. He even gets caught out on switches and he doesn't give up. I've seen him guarding, you know, 6'5", 6 guys on the island, and he doesn't just say, oh, you know,
he's
bad
feisty.
Switch.
He's
like,
feisty.
No, he takes on the challenge.
And you know what? And he also gets away with a lot of stuff.
He does. He does.
You know, he gets away with
he does.
Murder.
He does. He gets and publicly
he
and
to do
in
that
the game.
To Stephen Curry embarrasses him.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. I don't doubt any of that. I just don't think Curry has reached a level where he takes those challenges defensively that Chris Paul does.
But like you say, if you watch the Clippers game, you notice that the Steph Curry having bad defense thing is very overrated.
It is. No, I didn't say bad. I didn't say bad.
If not the top, they're one of the best defensive
teams.
They are.
They're ranked number one in NBA defense.
Right. And Steph Curry, he plays defense. Like, guys say that, but he actually does play defense.
I wasn't saying so much to Chris. I think the Steph Curry not playing defense thing is overrated. Right. I think that has a lot to do with him scoring. People just assume because you score, you don't play defense.
Right.
But Chris Paul, I think, is an elite point guard defender.
Absolutely.
And I think it's something. Here's the difference. I think that Chris Paul takes that personal. I think he, on a nightly, you know, there's people who play defense and then there's people who take pride in their defense. And I think Chris Paul is at that point in his game where he takes pride and his defense.
I think overall he's just a feisty guy. Him being the size that he is, he has to be that way.
Right. I agree. I think he's a very feisty guy. He is a very feisty guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think he backs down from those challenges at all.
Not at all.
And then on top of that, I think his ball distribution and what's also very his assist to turnover ratio, 4.35. Nobody else is even over three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
with him, he dominates the ball so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
mm-hmm.
he dribbles it so much. When he passes the ball, is when it's time for you to shoot. He's not going to, you know, throw the ball ahead and be like, okay, you go to work or you create for yourself. He's going to dribble the ball, one pick and roll, two pick and roll, three pick and rolls, until finally something opens up, which is going to be a shot for him, or it's going to be an assist. And, I don't want to say that's not fair, but it's kind of not.
His turnover number is nice, man.
Yeah.
186 turnovers, dude. Like, that's that for somebody who, like you said, he handles the ball 20 seconds out of the 24.
Yeah.
And you know, he very rarely makes the wrong decision.
But he's not getting that assist where he's just trying to, you know, he might see somebody open real quick and try to throw it through there, or just trying to – he's going to make the pass when the pass is there.
Right. Yeah.
And when you when you just closing your eyes and throwing the ball up in the air to DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin.
As much as 5 to 6 feet above the rim.
You're going
to
get five assists that way alone.
I think DeAndre Jordan and then Blake Griffin, but more so DeAndre Jordan, is a walking 4 assists. Like, I mean, you just throw that ball anywhere near the basket. And he's grabbing it.
You come off the screen and roll, and either this is your choice, because something's going to be open on the screen and roll every time. You either got to back up and get under the rim before you throw it up to DeAndre Jordan, and when you do that, you leaving J.J. Redick coming off.
Right.
Or you stay with both of them and just let Chris Paul dribble in the lane and shoot a float. I mean, something's open, and he got the tools out there just like he had in New Orleans. It's like you got to pick your poison. Tyson Chandler.
David West, right?
Nah, they was on him and David West on the other side, but Peja.
Peja, right. Gotcha.
I mean, what do you choose, the dunk or the three?
Right. He's in the perfect system for him. Yeah. I make no doubts about it. But when I think point guard, I told you my perception, and he fits my mold of the point guard. Now you watch him and Curry. Oh my God, that was great. Did you get to see that last time they played? It was last Tuesday. Okay, great game. It's NBA needs to find a way to do something about that, because that was the best game I've seen in a long time. As it should be. It can't be happening at 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. Like, you can't do that. I'm dying trying to stay awake. You know what I mean? And then make it so bad that the normal halftime crew wasn't there, so I didn't get Charles, Kenny, and them at halftime.
Yeah.
It's hard to. I mean, if you work and have a job or have anything to do the next morning. You know, you really have to want to be interested to stay up to watch a game at 1:30, going close to 2 o'clock in the morning. But it was everything that the NBA was supposed to be. JJ and Klay Thompson going at it for shots. Curry and Chris Paul going at it. Blake Griffin put on a hell of a show. It was awesome. Great ball movement. Everything the way the game should have been. It was an awesome game. It just really was. If you watch the two play, you definitely see the grandson, Mr. Miyagi sort of thing going on there with Chris Paul. And now everybody wants to talk about the highlights, obviously. And, you know, it's funny and it's entertaining or whatever the case may be. But they essentially played each other to a stalemate in the numbers. I think Chris Paul had 27 and Curry had like 24. But the numbers were almost identical. Paul had like 11 assists and Curry had like 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
What Curry is able to do offensively, he's starting to get – going into this season, the label of him was as a shooter. He's finally, because of highlights like this, people are finally starting to appreciate he's a hell of a ball handler.
Yeah,
and he never got credit for that before.
And he finishes at the rim.
Yeah.
Left hand, right hand, finger rolls, top of the backboard, he finishes pretty well.
He didn't get credit for the ball handling. People just thought that he could just shoot. People thought he was Steve Kerr.
Well, I think he got better at it.
Yeah, he actually in
school now. I mean, he has some nice dribbling moves in school too, though.
The fact that he is such a deadly shooter opens up so much for him, because, you know, every single time he even looks like he's pump faking, you have to respect him. You know what I mean? So that's what makes for all these crossover and ankle breaking stuff, is because you have to respect the fact that he doesn't. Because if you let him shoot and your hands are down by your side, you might as well count that for two or three.
Right.
You know, so
his passing ability is what really impressed me. I wasn't aware that he can pass the ball as well as he can.
He's had a phenomenal year.
My knock on Chris is just he dribbles too much. I just think he just dribbles the ball too much, and he wants a stat every time down the floor.
The thing is, I don't disagree. I've always felt him, and I felt like Dwayne Wade does that a lot. He did that more before LeBron got there. That was before LeBron got there. I felt like he was a dribbling machine.
Yep.
And Chris Paul does. There is really no offense flow like the Spurs. Like, he's the anti Tony Parker. Tony Parker doesn't dribble the ball at all.
He
comes, brings the ball past half court, and then sets up the offense. Yeah. Chris Paul doesn't do that at all. So that's why his numbers will mislead you and think that he has twice as many assists or he's twice the passer Tony Parker is, and that's not true.
Right, and that's why when you say he fits your mold, like, you know, Jason Kidd, like Jason Kidd didn't play like that.
No, he didn't dominate the ball like that. Yeah. He absolutely didn't. I will agree with you there. But when I say he fits my mold in terms of he gets assists, he can shoot, and he does play defense. It's not. I feel like there's a thin line between he dribbles the ball a lot and then Russell Westbrook, who every single time he touches the ball, he's trying to score.
Yeah.
I think Chris Paul dribbles the ball a lot with the intention of getting a good shot for either himself or somebody else.
Right.
I think Russell Westbrook dribbles the ball because his intention is to score.
Right.
You know, so that's why it's hard for me to make Russell Westbrook the number one point guard. I can't – any one of those three, again, I would respect anybody who says Westbrook is the best point guard in the NBA. I respect anybody who says Steph Curry is the best point guard in the NBA. I think it's that pecking order right there with those three. For since you said you went by that, if you pick a game series today, who do you want as your point guard, Curry, of those three?
So when you ask that question, then it's about what team is it?
Who's on the team?
What team do I have? I mean, right now, out of them three, I'm going to pick Stephen Curry. I mean, he's on the best team, and he's the best player. I mean, he still might draw more attention than Westbrook, because Westbrook just comes at you and they give you a chance to double him. Right now, they just be straight doubling Steph Curry. He got to, like, get the ball out of his hand. And the shots that he make are tough shots, and he still makes them. He don't even shoot that much.
He definitely makes very tough shots, and he's – I don't have a problem with Steph Curry, as anybody's known. Where do you weigh in on that, on the 1-2-3?
Yeah, I think Steph Curry is the best point guard in the league.
And then what do you do with Curry without Paul and Westbrook?
I'd have Paul 3 and Westbrook 2.
And that's based off of?
Just basically, I guess, because Westbrook scores a lot and he gets high assist numbers. The turnovers, like you said, it's a lot, but he dominates the ball, like you said. So, I mean, like, I'm not sure that Chris Paul can give you that 35 consistently if you needed it like he used to be able to, you know what I mean? So it's like your criteria if you need one game, you know, like I think Steph Curry and Westbrook give you a better chance to win that game than Chris Paul.
If we're talking about scoring, Chris Paul takes a backseat to them. And mind you, Chris Paul can still score 30.
He still can score,
right. But not like those two.
Right.
He can't score like those two. Absolutely none of that. And what about the intangible? Which one of those, when you rank the intangible in terms of leader?
Chris Paul.
Gets the nod there, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think. All right, well, that was, like I said, you just look at these guys, like, right, to not even mention Bledsoe, who I think is a talented player, and Deron Williams. If he could string together a half a season of good play, I'd love to see him back at that level.
Bledsoe?
No, Deron Williams.
Oh, yeah.
I just need him to it seems like every time he has five good games in a row, he sits out. You know what I mean? It's hard to have somebody as a top anything if you can't even, you know, you can't count him. If we have a 7-game series, you're not even sure if he's going to be healthy for all 7.
Right.
I like Bledsoe. I think Bledsoe reminds me of a younger Westbrook. He's a strong bull who can attack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like Bledsoe. I like Roger.
And remember, Jock. Yeah, Jock.
You know, those guys are amazing. You know what I mean? It's just.
And what about when healthy? You know, I like Michael Carter Williams.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. He does a lot, man. He's a walking triple double himself.
He's also a turnover machine.
He's a turnover machine. Yes.
I mean, machine,
he
dude.
He's
like, got
to work on his shooting, but he hasn't been healthy all year. I mean, he started the season with the worst team ever.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember last year, I was like, Jesus, this dude, I mean, he had so many games with 7-8 turnovers that, I mean, he's a turnover machine.
I mean, when you handle the ball on a team like that, I mean,
right.
You got guys who can't catch. You know, you ain't getting no screen set for you.
Right.
You just kind of got to go out there and just do your own thing, and you're going to turn the ball over like that.
You see big things in his future?
I like him, yeah. He's got to work on his shot. He can rebound. He passes.
He's a big dude, man. He's 6'6", man.
Yeah. Get steals.
He's a big. Have you got a chance to see the dude out in Orlando who can't shoot, Peyton?
I watched a little bit of him. I like him. I mean, you know, I like passes.
I like him because he passes and he plays defense. But when I say that dude can't shoot, oh my goodness, my man, he's in Rondo territory and might even be worse. I mean, that dude really can't shoot.
Right.
But I mean, he's young. He's extremely young.
Yeah.
And I like him. I mean, he's a big dude. He rebounds.
But you know who I like? I'm a Rubio fan, man.
Rubio didn't even make the list.
Rubio, man. Nah, but Rubio hasn't been healthy enough. But that kid can really pass the ball, and he's just a smart player.
Yeah,
man. If he can shoot a little better
and stay healthy,
man.
But he also cannot shoot or score.
He shoot better than Peyton and Rondo.
Maybe Peyton. Maybe that's a bad
Rubio
list to be on.
Better than Rondo.
It's a bad list to be on. But they're in the same. I mean, his field goal percentage is like 38, 36.
Right.
I mean, he's.
Right.
And he has no problem scoring 8-9 points for like a season. Like that's what he just averages, like 8 points. I mean, but in terms of passing, I am too. But here's the difference though.
10 assists and 3-4 steals.
I'm okay with it, but I'd like to know that he can score.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't think Rubio can score. I've
seen him have some games.
Rondo, we've seen Rondo score 30 points before.
Yeah.
Rondo, I don't know how he does it. I mean, he's on just hustle and getting in the paint and whatever the case may be. Rubio, I mean, if I had to guess over or under 20-point games, I'd be surprised if he had 20 point games in his career.
I mean, how many games has he played? I wouldn't. 20-point games.
I mean, he's been around for a while now. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely often hurt, which is another thing, which is a big thing. But in terms of like highlight reel and watching, and I wouldn't feel bad going into the a game with Rubio as my point guard if I have scorers around me. I need to have other scorers around me.
I'm looking at as a player, as a wing, a shooting guard, small forward. I would love to be out on the floor with Rubio. He's going to find you.
I feel you. Your stuff makes more sense now. Yes.
Right.
If you're thinking like a two guard who wants the ball,
yeah.
Yes, I would think Rubio's higher on your list of people to play with. Absolutely. I could definitely see that. I could see how you could – I could see where you'd say I'd rather play with Rubio than Russell Westbrook any day of the
Absolutely.
Week. Yeah, I could definitely feel you on that one, buddy. I definitely could feel – Rubio, I must say, looks like a guy – because he's not only a pass first, he's probably a pass second, third, and fourth guy. Like, he has no desire to really in the same mold as Rondo. Rondo's not trying to shoot. Mm-hmm. He wants to pass. I agree. I like Rubio. I'm a Rubio fan. I just his shooting and his scoring and his field goal percentage are atrocious, man. Like, I mean, his field goal percentage is horrible. Mm-hmm. He hurts. He's cost me a couple of fantasy championships, that dude's field goal percentage. Anyway, all right,
so let me ask y'all, where would Derrick Rose be if he was healthy?
That is such a I don't even know if there's an answer for that.
That messes the whole list up.
Because it's like, what Derrick Rose are we talking about?
This year. Just off of what he's done, the games he's played this year.
Not in the top 10.
That's 18 points a game, 5 assists.
Nah, he's got off of what he's done this year, I feel like I got to try to fit him in there. What is this assist?
Five assists.
Five,
yeah, 18.4 a game.
But
5 assists to me means you're not a passing point guard. And if you're not a passing point guard, I need more than 18 points from I don't know. It's hard to separate what what you see.
He was shooting pretty bad this year. You got his stats right there? What is his field goal percentage?
Hold on. They don't call him the worst producer in the business for nothing. He'll have that number for you by next show.
High 30, early 40s.
For some reason, I don't know. It looks like it's a computer over there that he's using, but I don't know what website he's on that you can't just click on the guy's name and his field goal percentage comes.
It's Yahoo. It's not me, man.
All you have to do is click on the name, and you just if you could tell us that he was averaging 18-5, you were looking at something that had his information on it. So all you had to do is click on his name, and he still doesn't have the information.
DJ was looking it up. I thought.
Oh no, nah,
he's terrible. Wow. Well, what are you doing?
The list I'm showing his assist. He's not on here. I don't think he played enough games.
I don't
games.
Think he didn't play
enough
games. Right. So you still don't have that information is what you're telling me.
It's not, he's not on here.
Okay. So what were you just looking at that said 18-5?
Just I'll show you. Hold on.
Whatever you're looking at, it has his field goal percentage on there.
It doesn't.
He was taking a lot of shots, though. And he
I don't think he ever was a high field goal percentage guy anyway.
Nah, early on when he was just going to the rack, wasn't taking a lot of jump shots, I thought he shot pretty good. Now, no, he'll make a few jump shots now, so now he kind of fall in love with it sometimes. He's taking a lot more jump shots than he used to.
He's shooting 40%.
That's not good.
No. That's what I'm saying. That's why I asked. Because this year, I knew he wasn't. He was scoring his points. He had some 30-point games. He had a big game, hit a game winner against Golden State.
I remember one
he
of those.
He was shooting it a lot.
Right. The one game where he had, like, it was like a misleading game because he had, like, 27 points, but it was, like, 6 for, like, 35 with, like, 10 turnovers.
Well, that's half, like, of Westbrook's games. Nah. That kid shoot the ball 38 times, man.
Yeah, he's
12 for 38.
Shooting. If Rose is healthy, which I don't even – I don't think you can say that because he's not, and I don't think he ever will be.
We'll see tonight.
No, I don't know. I don't think – I wouldn't build a team around Derrick Rose. I'd stand – I'd cheer for whoever had him, you know, and you wish the best for him, but I think he'd be a fool if at this talent – if with this level of talent that's out there, ready and healthy, I think you'd be a fool. I could tell you – 15, almost 20 guys that I'd say give me him instead because I know that guy's going to be there for all 7 of the games. You know what I mean? So that's I'll take a lesser player who I know is going to play.
Like I said, it depends on what you're asking for. You talk about building a team around. Or you talk about just a 7-game series.
I'm not even sure. Right now, I don't even think Derrick Rose can play 7 games. I don't even know if he can play 4 quarters. You know what I mean? I'd love to know the last time he played 7 games straight or, you know, whatever the case may be. He's a questionable – he's a game-time decision for life from here on in, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I think he is. I don't know if you're ever going to be – I think he's going to be a game-time decision from here on in for the rest of his career. That's just my thought. But anyway, it was great to have you back. Good show. Interesting list. Like I said, I dare anybody out there who's – because I know people are – I feel like the 6 that we said separately, I feel like that's in stone. I don't see how what's to really argue with. I think the 3 – and then a 3, mm-hmm. and then after that, it's your personal preference.
Right.
You know, a grab bag, which I'd be happy to have any of them, mind you. I think the point, because there's names on this list, like I said, that I still wouldn't have no problem having as my point guard. But yeah, anybody listening who thinks it's easy, go ahead, pick your Ted, and I promise you'll find, and just tell one other person that you know, and they can tell you the list. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Nah, I'm good, man.
Okay. You going to be back next week?
I don't see why not.
Okay, sounds good. Cause we still, you're a boxing guy, so still can't wait to hear your whole thoughts on this Pacquiao,
right.
Mayweather flight and all of that good stuff. A lot happening.
Shame that's all you guys know is Mayweather and Pacquiao. So much more boxing going on in the world.
Yep. And pretty soon,
pretty good fights this weekend.
Are there? I'll take your word for it, buddy. Boxing is dying, bro. I think
this fight is like the curtain call.
Right.
This is the curtain call. Like this is the last one. They hope they go out with a bang, man.
Hope they get 3 out of this one. Be a close decision.
Yeah, I hope so too. All right, guys. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Make sure you get that on the
everything. iTunes, Android,
everything.
It's everywhere.
We everywhere, son. We so blowing up. All right, thank you for everybody for checking in, and we'll see you all next week. Have a good week.
All right.